can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
I'm fantastic. I mean, last week I said I was tired, but this week I'm amazing. And you wouldn't
really
know that it's only been 30 minutes since. No, I'm good. I am halfway through my recipe that I started last week, where I'm making my own homemade dish of the... It's basically a banana and cheesecake pudding mix with rosé-soaked strawberries.
Nice!
So I'm excited for this recipe, and I'm ready to eat it at 9 a.m. tomorrow because the alcohol is not cooked out of these strawberries.
Are you making it into like a layered dip situation, or are you like a, it's like a fork, like a spoon and bowl situation?
It's going to be a spoon and bowl situation. It's going in this little nine by 13 pan, but it's going to be layered basically like a lasagna, but okay. A dessert.
Nice.
I was thinking you could do like a dip kind of situation with it and serve it with graham crackers for dipping.
You absolutely could.
Or Nilla wafers.
Nilla wafers, but Nilla wafers are already in it.
Oh, that's right, because it's banana pudding and not... Okay, yep.
But so I've got my lovely, lovely rosé-soaked strawberries right here. Maybe I'll put it in front of this other camera.
Well, I figured I'd finally assemble some of these meals that I've been talking about prepping.
Speaking of strawberries, and this is therapy... I know on Beers and Sundries yesterday I talked about this, but John Riley, a longtime listener of Beers and Sundries, brought me on his show the other day, and we talked about the movie Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yes.
Holy fuck.
You were telling us about how wild it is when you think about the premise nowadays.
Yeah, that show, like Carol Channing, yes, of course, her famous line, raspberries, is in it. That show is basically... the Looney Tune of sex slavery. It is insane. I did not remember it being that when I was younger and how racist it was. And I mean, I'm just like, oh shit.
It explains so much though, because like America is such a weird fucking place. And the fact that we took a subject matter that was so serious and downplayed it. And that's kind of the only way we could approach it is from that, from the side basically is just so on brand for this country.
Oh, God. These strawberries are so good.
I hate you.
Eat these all day.
I should have eaten before we started this because I'm hungry and I'm looking at the
screen. I ate at 4 p.m. because I was starving so much. So,
yeah, I very much... this episode will come out the week after our new Beards and Sundries episode. And on that episode, you'll learn that I... love an early dinner.
Oh, that's right. I already forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like 7 something. I'm like, where's my food?
Where's my food? Okay, yeah, I did this right. Phew. I'm like, okay, so I invented this recipe myself, but I had ChatGPT order it for me and make sure it got the measurements for me. And so I'm just making sure I'm going in the right order.
Mm. Well, and I invented rice, and so I'm putting that together right now.
Okay, time traveler.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyways. So, sort of a back to the topic that we were on last episode. You were talking a little bit about your chemotherapy
and the
effects that it had on your body. And, I mean, I'm not surprised by that, but could you tell us a little more about it? Because I understand a little bit about what chemo is, but you've been through it.
Yeah, basically, chemo is a way of poisoning your body to kill the potential cancer cells. That's what chemo is. That you're literally, a lot of times it's not the cancer that kills people, it's the chemo. But as of now, it's the method we have to kill the cancer cells. Think of it as back in like the 30s and earlier when they used arsenic to treat things in people.
Oh, yeah.
This would be the same way. So one day we're going to look back and be like, how on earth were they doing that?
Well, you know, the alternative is dying the other way.
So, yeah. But it drastically impacts your body. I'd say the one thing that I noticed the most is how... God, I love that. Is how, it messed with my brain a lot. It almost, like, knocked out every potential skill of memory. And I feel like even nowadays, like, there's moments where I'm like, I don't remember that at all. And then, like, you can say something that finally triggers it, and it's like a flood of that memory comes back.
Yeah.
It's so weird to explain. That's not firm.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Yeah, I was like, that pudding is not firm at all, so it better firm up, bitch.
Well, and that's like my mom, whenever I was a kid, had leukemia, and she had to go through it, and, you know, obviously, like, lost her hair and stuff, but I was so young at the time, I didn't, like, know, I guess. I was maybe, like, 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a journey, that's for sure. I'm thankful that I didn't have to do radiation.
So I guess in my own way, that's kind of what I thought maybe chemo was, but I've never really looked into it, was that chemo was some version of radiation.
Yeah, chemo is dropping a chemical, or radiation is basically using a radiation.
I have an idea, do you trust me?
Yeah.
No.
What?
So it's basically... It is its own version of radiation?
It's not. It's chemo is a chemical reaction, basically. Well, I mean, radiation is too. It's just a completely different form.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess you're right, in a sense.
I mean, I could be wrong. I have no idea.
The interest... I mean, once I start thinking about it, I was like, I mean, it is... It's meant to focus on the type of chemo, because there's tons of different types of chemo. Each cancer has a different type of medicine that's used in chemo. For example, there are specific breast cancers that use like there was a lady next to me that her treatment, she had to keep popsicles under her tongue. Because it superheats in your mouth or something like that. I can't remember. So it had to keep you cool. And that is like a very, 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 very serious chemo. Mine was 3 different blends of medication, and you have to go in a specific order. Wow. Yeah. And then you do a different pattern. Like one of them I did once a week. Two of them I did daily. I got lucky. Mine was a month long of treatment, but 1 week was just like a solid 9 hours a day. And then after that, it was just like bits and pieces here for three more weeks. And so the treatment process is completely different based off the type of chemo, the type of cancer you had.
Can you wipe this down?
The stage of cancer you had. There's a lot to it I didn't realize because my oncologist, every time we'd like talk about my cancer and go to my appointments, he'd basically have to go down this chart to figure out what my treatment plan was and all that stuff because everything's different. And yeah, it's quite a journey, which I don't like to say it this way, but I'm kind of glad I went through it because it changed me as a person, I feel, for the better. And yeah. I appreciate the journey to learn from it.
So I think it's okay to be thankful for negative experiences that, you know, help you sort of improve your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel that way about it. I will never forget, actually, what kind of led us to this podcast was my very last day of my long, long day of chemo. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about my life because I was like, what? I know that this is stage one. I caught it early. My survival rate is 98%. What if this would have been worse? What if I potentially was on my deathbed? This is a moment that I get the opportunity to look back on my life and say, what have I done to make myself happy? What choices have I made? And all my life, I realized, was there for making other people happy and was trying to make other people like me and be impressed by me and feel I'm successful. And and it was all this time wasted because I did nothing for me. Yeah. I realized I was in an unhappy relationship. I realized so much in that one blip of time that my brain went, oh, shit. Yep. And that's where everything changed for me.
And that's all it took?
Yep. Just a little bit of cancer.
Just a little bit of cancer.
Just a little bit as a treat.
Just to change your life.
Just a surgery to remove one testicle, which I'll never forget.
That's kind of how that happens for a lot of people is they end up going through these like really difficult situations, and that's what it takes to get them out of a bad space that they've been in just because it's easier to stay in those spaces.
Yeah. I was just like, ugh, I don't like who I am. I don't like all I've done to try and be liked. I want to change.
I mean, that's why you hear about the cycle of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
People stay in like really bad situations because they're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid to come out the other side. And so having something like that, I mean, sort of forcibly happen to you, as long as you come out of it the other side alive, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. We're going to hope that, you know what, we're going to put it in the freezer because we're going to need that to chill just a smidge more. Fuck, I don't have room in my freezer. Well, this may not be finished at the end of the episode.
Well, you'll have to take a picture and post it up or like, just take a picture and show it to us in the episode for next week.
You know what, fuck it. We're going to soak these strawberries longer then.
Can you just take a picture?
I will, damn it.
Yeah, that was not the exact same situation by any means, but that was sort of what happened to me with my last job, was I just kept thinking about, like thoughts of suicide just kept popping up in my head all the time, especially on the way to work, and I just did not know how to get out of it. I was in this, like, cycle where I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm stuck here. I don't see the alternatives. Like, and getting out of it and realizing like that that's sort of by design for businesses. Like they don't, may not necessarily do it with the intent of making you suicidal, but you know, with the,
but controlled.
Control. That's the other thing. is that they want you to stay there or feel like you won't have it better anywhere else.
Yeah. Like, that your options are basically null.
Yeah.
But they don't do it by enticing you with like money or things like that. They do it basically by enticing by gaslighting you.
Yeah, they do it with that what they call work family culture. Ugh. That's why I do not do that. I avoid it.
I was actually having a conversation about this with an old coworker from my old company. And she's like, "Will you be honest with me? Why did you actually leave?" And I said, "Literally, I told you this. I want to change my old company." My old company does not represent the perception of a healthy life, work-life balance that I want in life. And so I said, so I decided that I had to take my own steps and stop believing the rhetoric that I'm told about how great everything is. And that was my changing point. And then we went through a few other things, and I said, one of the issues I've noticed there is if you underperform in any sense, you are punished to perform better. You are not coached to perform better.
Yeah. Ooh,
and I'm like, and that is extraordinarily common in companies. If you don't perform up to their standards, managers don't know how to coach you to be a better employee or to deal with you in a sense to be open and understand why you may be underperforming. Is it personal? Is it our bond? Is it your skill level? Is it all this? We need to talk about these things. Instead, they just go, well, you're not meeting my expectations, so you're doomed. You better figure it out. And it makes me chuckle that's very common.
So common.
It's funny because at my current job, the company that I work at, it's not something that's happening to me, but I get to sort of see it happening in the building that I'm in, wherein the person who is the manager of said building is not my boss or in my direct, like, chain of command in any way, shape, or form, but I get to watch him do things to avoid training people in very basic ways. Like paperwork is just, it's not done correctly, and it's really bad. And so now you're seeing one of our prepped meals for the week with some leftover provincial veggies that I wanted to get rid of because they're taking up space in the freezer. And and barbecue chicken, which Joe's idea, which I'm excited about. I love barbecue chicken.
So there I was, barbecue sauce on my titties.
Pro tip, when you're making prepped lunches, if you really want to make it healthy, you know, you're not obligated to, but if you're trying to, great tactic, fill that up with veggies. Just put a bunch of veggies that you like in there. Just tons of veggies. Potatoes, unfortunately, don't count. Otherwise, this thing would be all potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Another pro tip, non-food related. If you take OxyClean Versatile Stain Remover, a scoop of that in a sink full of water and put your canvas or mesh shoes in it, it completely gets the stains out of them.
Oh, that's a good to know. Will it take out the color out of the stains?
These are 5 years old, and I got all the stains out of the toes.
Nice. But back to toxic work environments. Yeah, I'm watching this happen in real time, and it's sort of funny to me because I'm with a business that was not nearly as big as my previous company, and so that company that I used to be with put me through so many leadership trainings. I mean, just leadership trained out the ass.
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing in that I understand what good leadership should look like. It's also a curse that I understand what good leadership should look like. And a lot of people don't have that. And so it is sort of funny to watch this where I'm just like, this guy, he is just trying to do anything and everything to avoid basic coaching and training. It is so funny.
It is entertaining how I'm really good at the sink or swim mentality. I just fall into it, so it's normal. But it is funny how that's how everyone lives. And so, like, I have a side gig, and I hired my first employee a few weeks ago that's been doing this. And I like sat down with him, showed him exactly how to do it. And I said, I want you to know that if you ever have a question and you're worried that it may sound dumb, just ask it, because I'm not concerned about that. I want to make sure you are comfortable with what you're doing. And I want you to feel comfortable talking to me about it.
Yep.
That is, and it's so rare, because the last two bosses I worked with at that, at Verizon, I'm going to say Verizon because fuck them. They caused me so many, I have health issues because of them that are ongoing. So they can fuck all the way off. But anyways, I had two bosses that just, it was so hard to approach them with questions like that, because one of them would do everything in his power to not answer it, because he didn't know the answer and he was afraid of seeming like he didn't know the answer and couldn't just say, I don't know, but I'll find out. And then the other one just was always flabbergasted that you didn't know something. And I don't know what the deal was with her, but it was just, it got to the point where I just didn't want to ask questions because I was afraid. And it's been really refreshing at my current job, because I ask my boss questions all the time now. Mm-hmm. All the time. I'm constantly asking him to double check my work, because I'm just like, yeah, can you check this for me and make sure that it's correct? Especially for things that I'm not as familiar with, because I want to know that I'm doing it right. And I trust him enough to know that he's going to say, hey, here's what's right and here's what needed to be fixed, or like, hey, it's done correctly, or like just giving me the feedback that I need in a way that doesn't make him feel like he's like, what the fuck, why are you asking me this, or what the fuck, why didn't you do it right, you know?
That's one part of work culture, not just in America but everywhere really, that I've never understood, is that there's such a lack of communication everywhere. And I'm such a stickler for communication, because I don't think that it's rare for there to be a stupid question when you're learning something new, especially when you're learning something new. And I think it's really harmful that that mentality exists, because you make people scared to ask a question. So then they do what they think they're supposed to do. And then if they fuck it up, then you have to backpedal and you have to retrain and you have to show them the right way, and they have to forget the wrong way that they learned themselves. And I'm just, it's this whole mentality that talking too much is wasting time. And in my opinion, time learning is never time wasted. And I think that it's really incredibly toxic that they think that way.
It's also this whole mentality that you have to fuck up to learn. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I understand that. But
that's very boomer coded.
Like, if you can prevent it in this essence, then why not just train them to do it right in the first place? This isn't like hurting yourself learning as you are turning five and you're not supposed to touch something you're not supposed to. Like, that's not what this is. This is literally running a company.
Well, and I mean, that's the other thing, is that sheer laziness of not wanting to train people because of how much work it takes, because it does take work to train people.
It does. It takes work. It takes skill in organizing how to train. It takes critical thinking, which I have learned is not as common as I wish it were in this world.
Nope, not even close. But I mean, it goes a long way with building trust with your team members. It being able to train them and having the patience to train them. And that was another thing that I just hated about the last boss I had there. It's just, it was exactly what you were talking about earlier. It was like, sink or swim, figure it out.
Yeah.
And I was like,
when my ex and I,
you're not going to do anything? No training at all?
At all.
When my ex and I, when I was talking about potentially moving down to Houston, as after he moved down, it was based on the idea that if I can find work that makes it worth the move, then sure. And I had one company that interviewed me, and I literally, like, 5 minutes in was like, oh my God, this is bullshit. And I literally just, like, stopped with the customer service face. And I was just, because they were talking, they're like, we don't train. We're real bad at that.
See you later.
Nope, bye.
They're like, it's very sink or swim. No. A lot of people haven't a lot of people haven't survived it because it's just difficult to deal with a lot of people that are aggressive, that are hard to deal with. And he's like, a lot of people will push back at you and you just have to know how to push them back. And like, he was so blunt about it. And I was like, I looked at him and I sat there and went, this sounds like my job with 11,000 more people that I have to deal with. And he's like, yeah, basically. And I mean, they're a pipeline company for oil and gas. So like, no, they can't go away. They're a big one. But I literally just was like, okay, what the fuck ever. And then I hang up. I get a call the next day and they're like, they loved you.
Well, I bet.
Well, I didn't love you.
And I was like, I told her, I was like, what? They did? I'm like, I can't tell you how I gave up in the middle of that interview because it sounds terrible. And she goes, well, okay. So she told me their offer, which originally it was a full-time position. I was asking for this much. They said they can meet it, blah, blah, blah. Well, then they changed their mind and said that I have to be contract for the first year and that here was my number, my salary, and it was less than I would make. And currently, and then like I would get insurance through the employment agency, but and then they required me, if I accepted, that I had 2 weeks to move to Houston.
With no assistance. Wow. So no, what do they call that?
Relocation.
No relo at all?
Yeah.
No, because I was a contractor.
That's wild that they expect that that's a suitable offer. I would laugh in their face.
I think any business that thinks that highly of themselves can fuck all the way off.
Yeah.
I told her, I sat there and went, so that's a big decline. And I said, but you're welcome to counter offer. And I told him, I said, back to the original one, because since they're not going to be smart about it, what the fuck do you think I'm going to do? And I specifically said my number. And I said, with a relocation package and all this. And I said, she's like, they're not going to accept that. And I said, I know.
That's when you say, well, I guess they didn't love me very much, did they?
I was like, I absolutely know they're not going to accept it. But I want you to tell them that's exactly what I demand. I want them to know that I'm not just like some easy pushover. And I said, also, if you don't give that counteroffer, I want you to tell them I laughed. I want to burn this bridge.
I want to be on the call with you.
I want them to know that I gave that pushback they were talking about me needing in there, and that if I had accepted this without giving pushback, I would have been the wrong person for the job, and they can fuck all the way off.
Yep.
Yeah. She's like, well, I probably won't do that. And I said, well, if you want me to, I will, because I said that.
Give me the number. I'll call right now.
I'm like, that was so offensive to somebody who's a professional and to somebody who's good at what they do and to somebody that would probably actually do really well in that position. I sat there and went, abso-fucking-lutely not.
Yeah, no.
It was like that Sears commercial where you're like, I'll call now. You'll call now.
I'll call tomorrow.
You'll call now!
Oh, guys, I think I messed up that pudding.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Did it mess you up? It didn't get to mess you up yet.
Well, it was a bigger box of it, so I wonder if I just need to be patient. But anyways, I'm going to layer all this on there, and it better fucking be gorgeous. But I guess technically I can go buy another one and remake it tomorrow. It's not a complicated dish.
Well, our veggies finally came out of the oven.
And they look glorious. Look at the color on those.
Gorgeous. Oh, the gorgeous color.
Steamy as hell. So steamy.
It's a Normandy blend. It's got broccoli, cauliflower, yellow carrots, baby carrots, and... that's it. And there's Tony Satchery seasoning on it, and we've roasted them in the oven, and they look beautiful.
Yeah, it's super easy. It's one of my favorite things for meal prep because it's tasty, it's simple, and you can do it from frozen, like 450 degrees for like 35, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Reggie.
Oh, that's not Reggie.
That's a Blanche.
I can't see.
I don't know. Cat's a Blancha?
I've got my contacts in, and they're only good for seeing things like... really close.
You're gonna be like those ladies that like bring in the raccoon and they're like, I found this dog outside.
You got it.
Well, so I have been shutting up Reggie just a smidge more so the cats can get a little bit more freedom. Oh my god, I thought at night I would sleep better, but now no, the cats just come out now and like need my fat roll, and
they say,
like, I wake up sometimes to Blanche like chewing on my finger, and I'm like, god damn it, I'm not dead.
She's like, just checking. She's got a little Tony Satcheries and she's sprinkling on your fingers.
I was like, fucking 350.
The oven. Yeah, she's putting an apple in your mouth.
Sweetheart, let me die first. Jesus.
She's soaking the strawberries in rosé.
She just looked up and was like, meow.
She said, I'm going to try again tonight, bitch.
She's like, I'm just not dumping enough in your food.
She was like, you think you ruined the pudding? I put arsenic in there.
God, you bitch. No, I love you. You're so sweet. Even when you chew on my finger at 2 a.m.
But it is kind of funny to think of, like, the way that work culture exists now. And I know we're getting close to the end of the episode, but, like, all the complaints that you hear about people not wanting to work anymore.
Ugh.
And it's just like, yeah, people want to work, but they don't want to work for free because that's not what the contract is in capitalism. Like, you want to be compensated for the work you're doing.
$7.25 is a criminal amount to pay someone for any labor in this country.
I just never forget that there are free internships out there.
Yep.
And I'm
we
like,
we have a few at our building I'm right like, now, and it is that wild
is
to me.
Fucking exploitation to the
it
max.
It should not
they
be
say
a thing.
That your payment is receiving the
experience
that you need for a job. And I'm like, no, you've brought in slaves.
I don't need experience. I am not a Pokemon. I need compensation for my time and labor.
Intern, I call you.
And that's also such a, and I know we're really close to the end of this episode, but that's also such a privilege thing because you have to have money to be able to do an unpaid internship. So that means that your family has to have enough money for you to live.
Yep.
And oh my God, it's like a paywall for experience.
Because my side gig, I could not ask somebody to be a free intern for me.
Yeah. No. Which, good for you.
Yeah.
Morally, I couldn't do it. I could probably get by with it. But morally, my brain's like, no, I need to pay you for your work. And I need to pay you a lot because you are making my life easier.
But you know what is free? This podcast. And you just listened to this whole thing. Didn't cost you a dime.
Didn't cost you a dime besides the internet you pay for.
Didn't cost you a dime that you had to pay to us.
Yeah, we didn't profit from it.
So, we hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, it was free.
We're going to send an invoice to the National Internet Society.
I don't know that that's a thing. But
nope, it's not.
That is 30 minutes. So bye, listeners.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.